Welcome to God's Laws for Business. We are so happy that you're a part of this series of teachings. We believe that these teachings will change individuals, change families, change cities, and entire countries for generations to come. So we're ready to dig in. Are you ready for a change in your life? Well, I hope so. That's what we're all about. We're about God's Laws for Business. And in this introduction, we're going to talk about how you should change the way you think. You see, God's Laws for Business is a 14-lesson curriculum that empowers participants with the tools and knowledge needed to become financially stable entrepreneurs. Using biblical truths and powerful stories in every lesson, each person is challenged to start small, work hard, seek God, grow step by step, experiment, test, and refine their business to become profitable. The curriculum is best served in groups of 5 to 15 people, allowing everyone to participate and to join the discussion that is found at the end of each lesson. But if you can't find a group, start in by yourself. Make these lessons real to you, and then consider forming a group. We have plans to help you form a group as you move down this path. Each lesson builds on the previous lesson, forming a chain that pulls the participant towards success. When these lessons are applied together, they work regardless of your age, regardless of your race, regardless of your nationality or religion, and builds a community that encourages, challenges, and supports one another in the adventure of starting a business. If you think you would like to start a small group, contact us. We'll give you a small instruction book about how to start and run an IBB club. There is no magic formula or get-rich-quick scheme found in the following pages. Instead, it's full of practical knowledge, encouragement, and homework, all built on the foundation of God's Word. If you plan to work through God's laws for business, you must be intentional. You must commit the next 6 months to learn and to apply these truths. You know, this is true with anything. If you want to be a good football player, you can't just lay in bed and then hope the next day you're going to play football. If you're going to be good in music, a good singer, you have to practice. You have to put in work. If you do what we're saying and you follow these lessons, you will be able to establish a profitable business without a single loan from the bank. Boy, that's a new thought. No loan from the bank? Yes, that's what we're talking about, starting with what you have. And if this sounds great, keep listening. Be a part of the new thing that God's doing to change your life, to change your finances, for the future of your family, for generations to come. Well, as an introduction to what we're going to do today, we're going to talk about the way you think. And for certain, your mindset determines your destination. Let me say that again. Your mindset, the way you're thinking, determines your destination. We like to use the Word of God as the basis, the foundation for what we're doing. The foundation for the entire curriculum is the Word of God. And we'll start with Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 and 6. And this is in the Message Bible. Trust God from the bottom of your heart. Don't try to figure out everything on your own. Listen for God's voice in everything you do, everywhere you go. He's the one who will keep you on track. We also like to use confessions. Now, a confession is something that you say with your mouth loud enough that your ears can hear it. And then if you're in a group, all of the group should say it together. Let's go. With God's help, I am an agent of change. My actions today will shape what tomorrow becomes. Each one of the lessons that we present has stories. And we're going to start with a story of three young men named Isa, Tahir, and Ao. These three men lived in the same city. Their community put the utmost value on whether someone could make the long, dangerous journey to the neighboring country. Those that successfully made the trip achieved status, wealth, and influence. All three young men had the same goal to finish the journey. But the mindset that drove each one was completely different. Isa had been waiting for years for a sign, an opportunity, or anything that would tell him it was the right time to start his journey. Isa watched travelers returning to his city after successfully making the trip. He wasn't brave enough to ask them for insight about the journey, But one day, Isa's grandfather returned home from the journey and gave Isa the leftover food and water from his trip. This was it. Isa had his sign. He had miraculously been given the items he needed to start his journey. Grateful and excited, Isa left the city without delay. He made good progress at first, but this didn't last long. The provisions from his grandfather only lasted a couple of days. Soon his parched mouth and empty stomach were reminding Isa of his needs. The few times he had traveled in the past, he'd gone with others, who were happy to share whatever Isa needed. Not knowing what to do, he decided to sit on the side of the road and wait for something to happen. After all, that's how his whole trip began, with Isa simply waiting for a sign. As he sat there on the side of the road, another traveler passed by. This stranger smiled at him and handed him enough food and water for the next day, then quickly moved out of sight. What luck, Isa thought. Perhaps this is the direct sign from God that I'm on the right path. Maybe my path will be filled with generous travelers. And he was thinking that this is what he should expect for the rest of the trip. 2 days later, though, Isa was in the same position. He had run out of food, run out of water, and he didn't have the ability to go on. Many travelers passed him as he sat on the side of the road, only giving him a smile and a nod. Not a single one handed him food or drink. To his hungry and thirsty eyes, they all had more than enough water and food for their journey, especially the ones headed back toward the city that was not very far away. One traveler offered to trade him some water if Isa would simply carry his pack. But Isa didn't have the energy for that work, and he wanted to stay focused on his journey. As he sat and watched the wealthy travelers, Isa's mind began to wonder. Where did they get all their money? Did they scam some helpless and weak soul along the way? Maybe they robbed somebody. Or did they sell their soul to the devil or some witchcraft? With each person that passed and faded into a distant shadow, the voices of hunger and thirst grew louder and louder inside of him. This is not fair. Soon he began to curse each passing traveler for being selfish and being a witch or even both. All his attention was directed towards the passing travelers. This kept him from seeing the mango tree close by and the small pool of clear, tasty water just beyond the mango tree. Had Isa simply looked around, he would have seen his wonderful provision from God. Precisely where Isa had ran out of the provisions, God positioned him at that perfect location. With a little effort, he could have harvested enough mangoes and water to last the rest of the trip. But he didn't look around. Isa never proceeded any further than that exact spot. Now remember, there's three young men, and there's three different mindsets. Now let's hear the mindset and story of Tahira. Tahira was not the same as Isa. Over his lifetime, Tahira had seen other people in the community successfully make the trip. They would often be selling berries that they found along the way. From just observing, he saw that no one was able to carry everything they needed for the journey, but instead they would sell and trade berries. Without researching or asking any questions from these successful travelers, Tahira quickly set out on his journey. After a few days, he found that his food and water were starting to run low. He began looking for berries that he could trade for food and water. Tahira found a few berries close to the path. But they were bitter, oh so bitter. Looking further away, he spotted a bush that looked much, much greener. But when he got to the bush, Tahira realized it looked and tasted identical to the ones that he had just left, the ones that were so bitter and no one could eat. At the edge of his eyesight, another bush looked like it was bursting with fruit. He made his way further from the path and deeper into the unknown wilderness, wandering from bush to bush. Tahira was so far from the path that he was completely lost. He couldn't find where he was. He had failed to do his research about how to find and ripen berries so that they would be of value. He started to think God did not want him to succeed and that he was incapable of completing the journey. Well, let's hear the mindset of the third person, Ao. While both Tahira and Isa were deep on their journey, Ao remained in the city. A.O. was just as eager as the other two men, but he decided to invest time to prepare for his trip. On his walk home from work one day, he saw an opportunity. It was an opportunity to earn a little money. It was a dirty job, cleaning out horse stables. He was a skilled worker in a different industry, and at first, the job seemed beneath him. But A.O. knew that having extra money for the journey would be wise. While shoveling out the stalls, he spoke with the two managers of the stables, a husband and wife team, Mama and Papa Hard Work. They were an elderly couple, and it surprised him to learn that they had made the journey multiple times. Unlike others who had completed the journey, they didn't wear flashy clothes, and they weren't born in some wealthy family. As much as A.O. could see, they were very average, just like himself. As he cleaned the stalls, he asked as many questions as he could. A.O. discovered these three main common elements in their journeys, and he wrote them down on a piece of paper so he wouldn't forget them, and he thought about them. This is what he learned. First, it would take work, actually hard work. It's not going to be easy. Then, number two, he could learn from his own experiences and the experiences of others, especially the experiences of Mama and Papa Hard Work. But then number three was so important. He learned that he needed to invite God into every corner of his life. Think about these three. Are these not the three things that you need when you're changing your mindset and you have a mindset for success? Let's review them again. Working hard, learning from your own experiences and the experiences of others, and invite God into every corner of your life. We must be serious about this, as we've talked. If you're not willing to change the way you think, then you're probably not going to change your situation in life. Your old mindset will take you down your old path, and it could be a path that's been a generational path. You may have mindset that was true about your grandpa and true with your parents and maybe with your neighbors and those around you, but you can be different. You can think differently. You can look differently at the situation. You can look at your life and say, I want to be successful. I want to have the things that God wants for me. I want to know that God's a part of my life. And you can determine your mindset in a way that your future is successful. We want that. That's why we're here. Our goal is to empower individuals, that's you, to become financially stable entrepreneurs through biblically based business mentoring. Thank you for being a part of God's Laws for Business and on the introduction of Changing the Way You Think.